Good afternoon. This is Akashwani, and I'm Shagun Chopra with the midday news. The headlines. Budget session of Parliament concludes after Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha adjourn sine die. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in Tamil Nadu and West Bengal. National Commission for Women reviews progress of probe into Amravati sexual abuse case. US extends waiver from sanctions to buy Russian oil by 1 month. Nepal Supreme Court recognizes Gagan Thapa faction as official Nepali Congress. And in IPL cricket, Royal Challengers Bengaluru to take on Delhi Capitals while Sunrisers Hyderabad to face Chennai Super Kings today. Both the Houses of Parliament were today adjourned sine die. With this, the budget session of Parliament comes to an end, which commenced on 28 January this year. In his valedictory address in Lok Sabha, Speaker Om Birla highlighted that the House registered 93% productivity during the budget session. He said a total of 31 sittings of the House took place. Mr. Birla said during the session, 12 government bills were introduced and 9 bills were passed. This includes the Finance Bill 2026, the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code Amendment Bill 2025, Andhra Pradesh Reorganization Amendment Bill 2026, Jan Vishwas Amendment of Provisions Bill 2026 and Central Armed Police Forces General Administration Bill 2026. A total of 326 matters of public importance were raised by the members during the 0 hour.
This session started on 28th January 2026. In this session, we had 31 sessions, which lasted for about 151 hours and 42 minutes. During the session, 126 questions were answered. Honorable members raised 226 issues of the Lokmat. In the session, 626 issues were raised under Rule 379.
In his valedictory address in the Rajya Sabha, Chairman C.P. Radhakrishnan said that overall the House functioned for a total of over 157 hours and the productivity of this session stood at around 110%.
The House functioned for a total of 157 hours and 40 minutes. The productivity of this session stood at 109.87%. During the session, we had the opportunity to raise 117 questions, 446 zero-hour submissions, and 207 special mentions. This session also witnessed the re-election of Sriman Harwanji. I also thank the leader of the House, the leader of the opposition, untiring efforts of the Secretary General and his team. I also thank the print and electronic media for covering the proceedings of the House.
The Rajya Sabha chairman said that during the session, Prime Minister Narendra Modi made a statement on the ongoing West Asia conflict and the challenges faced by India, especially to meet its energy requirements. Mr. Modi presented the evolving situation in a proper perspective and underlined the need for a collective resolve of the nation to face it. He said the House also took note of the Suomoto statements made by the Minister of Commerce and Industry on India-US bilateral trade agreement and the Minister of External Affairs regarding the situation in West Asia. More from our correspondent.
The budget session of Parliament began on 28th of January with the address of President Draupadi Murmu to the joint sitting of both the houses. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman presented the Union Budget on 1st of February. During the session, Prime Minister Narendra Modi made a statement in both the houses regarding the ongoing conflict in West Asia and the challenges emerging before India. A short duration discussion was also held in the Lok Sabha on the efforts to free the country from left-wing extremism. Earlier, the budget session was scheduled till 2nd of this month but was extended to hold 3-day special sitting to pass an important legislation related to implement 33% women reservation in the Lok Sabha and legislative assemblies. However, the Constitution 131st Amendment Bill 2026 could not be passed in the lower house as it failed to get 2/3 majority. With Dipendra, this is Anand Kumar for Akashvani News, Delhi.
On the Constitution 131st Amendment Bill failing to pass in the Lok Sabha, Union Minister for Women and Child Development Annapurna Devi said that the Congress has taken a stand that appears to be against the interests of women. Talking exclusively to Akashwani News, she said that women across the country were looking forward with great hope, but their aspirations have, for now, been held back until 2029.
Congress Mahila Virodhi hai.
It is clear that Congress is against women and Congress has done a very wrong thing. Women from all over India were looking at us with high expectations. They have stopped women from coming in 2029. And you will see that the way they have opposed in the coming time, women will not leave them.
Jis tarah se inhone virodh kiya hai, aane wale samay mein mahilayein kahin kahin ko nahi chhodengi.
BJP Lok Sabha member Basuri Swaraj alleged that the Congress and other opposition parties betrayed the women of the country. Talking to Akashwani News at Parliament premises, she said opposition parties do not want that women should come and actually sit and take seats next to them in Parliament and in the Vidhan Sabha.
The bill wasn't defeated. What was done by the Congress party and every member of the opposition alliance, the India alliance, was that they backstabbed the women of India. They have betrayed the women of India. They speak a big game about women empowerment, but when the moment came for implementation of the Nari Shakti Vandan Adhiniyam, the reservation in 2029 itself, then the Congress party and the entire opposition allowed political selfishness to prevail over them.
Union Minister Rajiv Ranjan Singh said that the government brought a bill with the provision of 33% reservation for women in the Legislative Assembly and Lok Sabha to empower the women. Talking to reporters, he said the Congress party is happy after defeating it.
The way the Nari Shakti bill fell is the character of the Congress party from the beginning till now. The Prime Minister took a historic step and to strengthen 50% population of this country. To strengthen the population of this country, he took the oath to give 33% of the population to the Legislative Assembly. And the Congress party is getting happy by making it fall.
Meanwhile, Congress leader Priyanka Gandhi claimed that the opposition thwarted the BJP-led government's attempt to alter the federal structure and weaken the country's democratic institutions. Addressing a press conference at the party headquarters in New Delhi, she said that true advocacy for women's empowerment requires sustained commitment and cannot be achieved through political positioning alone.
First of all, I would like to say that what happened yesterday was a very significant victory for democracy. The government's attempt to alter the federal structure and weaken democracy was defeated and stopped. It was a victory for the constitution, the country, and the unity of the opposition. This was clearly visible on the faces of leaders from the ruling side.
This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. In spite of heat and humid conditions, political campaigns intensified today in West Bengal for the assembly election. Trinamool Congress Chief and West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee joined a public meeting in Howrah in support of party candidates. TMC leader Abhishek Bandyopadhyay joined a roadshow and he is expected to join other public meetings in Purva Bardhaman district. BJP leader and leader of opposition Suvendu Adhikari joined a public rally in Purva Medinipur. BJP leaders and chief ministers of Assam, Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh have also joined public meetings in different districts of West Bengal. On the other hand, Congress leader and Telangana minister Mohammad Azharuddin joined rallies in Murshidabad district. Later in the day, he will join rallies in Malda district. Left and other political parties have also intensified campaigns through rallies and small public meetings in mohallas. In Tamil Nadu, poll campaigning will end in 3 days as the single-phase voting is to be held on 23rd of this month. Today, Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi will be electioneering at Coimbatore, garnering votes for the NDA contestants. He will have a roadshow on arrival at the airport to Kodisia, the venue of the event. Union Minister and BJP leader Piyush Goyal is meeting with the Tea Factory Owners Association at Ooty, Nilgiris. DMK Chief and Chief Minister M.K. Stalin has been criticising both the BJP and the AIA-DMK over the delimitation bill. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi, campaigning at Puneri, recalled his bond with the state. He said that each state has unique character and it cannot be compromised. He said that democracy is precious and all efforts should be taken to safeguard it. He will also take part in campaigning at Sholingur and Turayur in the state. AIADMK General Secretary Edappadi Palaniswamy, while campaigning at Erode, said that Sen Gottiyan worked like a spy for the DMK and wanted to split the AIADMK but was unsuccessful. In our series of constituency profile, today we take a look at Aragudam seat at Tenkasi district in Tamil Nadu. The district has the captivating Kottaluram waterfalls and is a border district in the Western Ghats. More from our correspondent.
Tenkasi district has five assembly constituencies, namely Sankaran Koyil, Vasudevanallur, Kadayanallur, Tenkasi and Alangulam. The district has 1,544 polling stations. Sankaran Koyil and Vasudevanallur constituencies are reserved constituencies. Two lawyers are locking horns in this constituency. One is Manoj Pandian, the son of former assembly speaker late P.H. Pandian. He hails from a family of lawyers and he himself is a highly successful lawyer. Manoj Pandian was in AIADMK when he contested the 2021 assembly election and he is seeking re-election as a DMK candidate. He is pitched against AIADMK's KRP Prabhakaran, another lawyer and a new entrant to electoral politics. Vipin Chakravarti is a contestant of the TVK party. The constituency was formed in 1971. The total electorate is 2,53,438 voters. AIADMK was elected five times and DMK was elected thrice and Congress twice from this constituency. Joy, Akashwani, reporting from Coimbatore.
The chairperson of the National Commission for Women, Vijay Rahatkar, presided over a high-level review meeting to assess the progress of the Parvatwara case in Amravati, Maharashtra. The case involves the alleged creation and circulation of obscene videos and images of young girls. In a statement, the NCW said that the matter has raised serious concerns regarding the misuse of technology for exploitation, the scale of content circulation, and the safety and dignity of the victims. The Commission said that it has instructed the concerned authorities to expedite the forensic analysis and submit progress reports to the Commission every 5 days. It added that during the briefing, SP Rural Vishal Anand informed that 8 accused persons, including the primary accused, have been arrested so far. The United States has extended by a month a waiver from sanctions to allow countries to buy petroleum products from Russia days after it ruled out renewal of the special measure. According to an order issued by the U.S. Department of the Treasury yesterday, the waiver now permits transactions involving Russian oil shipments that were already at sea on or before April 17 through May 16. Earlier, the U.S. had granted an exemption from sanctions to India for buying Russian oil for a month beginning March 5. Nepal's Supreme Court has recognized the faction led by Gagan Thapa as the official Nepali Congress, dismissing a challenge from the group led by former Prime Minister Sher Bahadur Deoba. A division bench of Justices Saranga Subedi and Ripthwaj Nirola yesterday upheld the Election Commission's decision to validate the party's Central Working Committee formed under Thapa's leadership following a special general convention held in Kathmandu in January. Thapa was elected as the Nepali Congress president in a special general convention from January 11th to 14th in Kathmandu, which was challenged by the Deoba-led faction. On to sports now. In IPL cricket, Royal Challengers Bengaluru will take on Delhi Capitals at M. Chinnaswamy Stadium in Bengaluru today. The match will start at 3:30 p.m. In another match, Sunrisers Hyderabad will face Chennai Super Kings at Rajiv Gandhi International Stadium in Hyderabad. The match will start at 7:30 in the evening. Late night, skipper Shubman Gill's majestic half-century propelled the Gujarat Titans to a 5-wicket victory over Kolkata Knight Riders at Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad. Chasing the target of 181 runs, Gujarat Titans achieved the target in 19.4 overs. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Budget session of Parliament concludes after Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha adjourn sine die. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in Tamil Nadu and West Bengal. National Commission for Women reviews progress of probe into Amravati sexual abuse case. US extends waiver from sanctions to buy Russian oil by 1 month. Nepal Supreme Court recognizes Gagan Thapa faction as official Nepali Congress. And in IPL cricket, Royal Challengers Bengaluru to take on Delhi Capitals, while Sunrisers Hyderabad to face Chennai Super Kings today. For details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and News on AIR app. And with that, we end the midday news.